This episode of Discover ADN is brought to you by Born Sequel and DB Snitch. DB Snitch is a once-off report service resulting in an in-depth examination of your existing database instances and recommendations to bring them up to industry standards, ensuring that your data is safe. DB Snitch gives you a comprehensive view of where your database currently stands, along with a customized game plan to get it to where it needs to be. Of course, Born Sequel offers both on-site and remote support. Find out more at bornsql.ca/dbsnitch or by contacting Randolph West via email at info@bornsql.ca with the keyword discover in the subject line. Welcome to another episode of Discover ADN, a podcast dedicated to learning more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people that use app.net to communicate with the world. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. Join me in attaching a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timeline, while also getting to know a little bit more about the people who make our social network such a nice place to visit. Want to be in the show or recommend somebody you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to discoveradn. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Douglas Schoback, who goes by the pseudonym Case Pollard on app.net. He is a near-future science fiction writer, a member of Mensa, and has an affinity for Markdown. Please join me in welcoming Douglas to Discover ADN. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. Let's get right down to business. Can you tell us, when did you join app.net?
I can't quite remember. It was back when they just introduced the free tier with invitations. So I believe it was around June. Was it June? Because my subscription, I subscribed in June, but I was part of the free one for about a month or two. So maybe it was April. That's when I got on and started to explore.
Yeah, according to Felix, you joined on April 24th of 2013.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Okay, can you tell us why did you join app.net?
Well, I had heard rumblings of it before in social networks, and I just got started getting interested in social networks and social networking, and I heard about app.net and this new kind of pay-for service, and it sounded really interesting, but I was poor at the time and I couldn't join, and then when they introduced, but I had been following it on RSS, and when they introduced the free tier with invitations, I started looking for people on Twitter who would give an invitation, and I forgot who gave me my first one to get on, but I got the invitation and I got on, and I got kind of overwhelmed with the global stream. I went on alpha.app.net and looked at the global stream and was just overwhelmed, going gobsmacked, going, what the heck is going on here? It's all, foreign language. It's not English, and I can't speak all this. But eventually I found a bunch of cool people to follow based upon global. So that's what got me into app.net, and that's why I joined it, because there were really interesting people. It wasn't the maelstrom of noise that was Twitter or the stupid posts from my friends in Facebook. It was really interesting and engaged me in the tech sphere and intellectually.
You use a pseudonym on app.net. Can you tell us where does, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Case Pollard come from?
Yes, it's Case Pollard. It comes from my absolute favorite book, Pattern Recognition by William Gibson. Case Pollard is the heroine of that book. She has an allergy to logos. So she's hired on by companies to determine what is a good logo or not based upon her allergy. And I just fell in love with it. She's just an amazing character. I love William Gibson. I wrote my master's thesis on pattern recognition, and I figured nobody would know, nobody would have that alias, so I'd just go with Case Pollard.
Let me ask you this next question. What would you like to see more of on app.net?
Ooh, that is a good question. What I'd like to see more is there's a lot of developer talk, at least with the people I follow, and tech talk, which I love, but I'm not really a developer or a technical person. I would love more engagement with the humanities, talking of history, talking of philosophy, of and especially writing, since I'm a writer by trade. I know there's a patter room called Writers Write, and there are several people in there, which is great. I just joined it. I would love to see more of a focus on the humanities, but then again, that could be based upon who I'm following, because everybody I follow is a developer or in the tech. There's not much I'd like to see more of, just maybe a focus on the arts along with the tech.
Okay, let's change gears just a little bit. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
I like to be known for either humor or being a nice guy, but also my writing ability. Offering advice or talking with people, and how I write. That's how I'd like to be known, is the writer of the community. the guy who can explain things concisely, succinctly, but has a sense of humor, and doesn't make it too complicated. I never thought what I'd want to be known for, but just an all-around good guy who's friendly to people, and people can come to for advice on writing or information on philosophy or history or things like that. The academic, get known to be as the academic. That would be a good answer.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you write?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by near future or speculative science fiction, which is why I'm so I love tech. I love reading about tech and the MIT papers that come out. I subscribe to their bulletins, and I love where tech is going in the future, and I love to speculate on that. About where tech's gonna take us as a species. So, for instance, going to Mars. What kind of tech would take us to Mars, and how would we go about achieving that? And I'm actually really interested in biotechnology. Printing DNA exact copies of organs that can be transplanted, rather than having donors and having to find a correct match, or for instance, putting implants in your retinas so blind people can see again. Just the fascinating world of technological advancements that could turn us into, excuse the term, but cyborgs. And I use cyborgs in the sense of the biology enhanced by technology, based upon an essay written back in the 80s called The Cyborg Manifesto. So I'm fascinated by this speculative science fiction and where it can take us in the future and where it's going to go, which is why I love William Gibson, because he does that too.
Do you think that we might take technology too far and essentially eliminate ourselves by perhaps becoming something like the Borg from Star Trek, or creating machines that don't see a need for humans?
That's never really a big... I don't really think we're going to take it too far. Although there is the possibility that we could outgrow our biology into technology, where we become less biological and more, you know, manufactured, like Ghost in the Shell type things. I forgot the name of the philosopher, the singularity, where you hear about that, where our consciousness can be uploaded to a computer and our bodies no longer matter. I think, I don't know. I mean, it's a moral question on how important our bodies are to us. If you can save a life by 3D printing a heart and implanting that, or creating a fake heart that's mechanical, I mean, to me, that life would be worth saving to do that. But to become like the Borg, I don't think that'll ever happen. I think we'll maintain our individuality, and technology will never go too far, unless AIs become, you know, like HAL 9000 and things like that.
Okay. Let's switch to something a little more positive. Have any of your stories or writings ever been published?
Yes, they have. I've had some short stories published in little magazines, a magazine called Open City and a magazine called Other Voices, just some short stories I made. And then I had a novella published just this last year that's available in all major ebook stores, which was really exciting for me because that I never expected that to happen.
Well, that's great. Usually, how long does it take you to take an idea and turn it into something that is published?
Oh, boy. It depends on how passionate I am about the idea. My novella is part of a bigger novel, which has taken me about 5 years to write, and actually the publication of my novella was me just throwing up my hand saying, screw it, I'm going to go and get this published. But the idea germinated about 5 years ago. As for the short stories, it took me about 2 months. I get an idea, and I just get obsessed with it, and I have to write it down. And usually when I write, I start in the middle. I get either a song lyric in my head or a phrase, and I write that phrase down, and then I write what came before it, and I write the consequences that come after it. So it's kind of a screwy way of doing it, but it usually takes, depending on how obsessed I am with it, about 2 months, and then, as I said, my novel up to 5 years.
Wow. Okay. You are a member of Mensa. Can you tell us, how did this come to pass?
By accident. I never thought I would ever be a member of that. I have to admit some personal things here as a story, but I see a therapist regularly, and after a couple sessions with her, she had me take an IQ test, just to see how things were progressing and to her to get to know me. And she said I did off the charts with it, and she I gave her the $100 to send it into Mensa, and she sent it in, and 6 weeks later I get a number saying I'm a member of Mensa. So it came as a shock to me because I never thought I would be, because it focuses a lot on math and math and like physics and things like that. And I'm not very good at math, but apparently I did okay. And she said I was like skyrocketing on spatial recognition and reading comprehension and things like that. So it came as a shock to me, and it's really nothing I brag about or anything. It was more of a ego trip type thing, saying, oh, look, I can do it. Okay, well, I did it.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Okay, let me ask you this next question. You shame people for using WYSIWYG or HTML editors when they're writing content for the web rather than Markdown. So what makes you such a proponent of the Markdown syntax?
Well, I wouldn't say I shame people. That's more of a kind of a just a jab at people. I used to use WYSIWYGs when composing my blog and composing for the web, and it just created horrible code. I'm currently using WordPress, but I'm going to move over to maybe 10 Centuries or some other one. I remember asking, and you said use 10 Centuries, so I might do that. But as a writer, as opposed to a graphic artist or a coder or somebody like that, I find Markdown to be the easiest way to get your thoughts and your writing onto, well, the proverbial page, as we'll call it. it's so much easier, especially when I write on the iPhone. I don't like writing on my computer because, well, I've got a pretty slow computer, and it's not as conducive to writing on my iPhone. Because I write on the bus, or I write while I'm waiting for prescriptions or something like that. And it's so much easier to use Markdown to do links and to do pictures, to link to pictures or embed pictures. I think it's much easier for a writer to use Markdown than a WYSIWYG or pure HTML. I'm not shaming people who are like coders or graphic artists or anything like that, because WYSIWYGs have a place, and they can use that. They're great for manipulating and placement. And pure HTML coders, you know, they love to dig in there and do the straight code. So, you know, each to his own, but I think as a writer and for writers, Markdown is the best.
All right. So aside from Markdown, can you tell us about something that you like?
This is kind of weird, but I like riding the train. I just like the sound of the train. I like waiting for the train. And it could be here in Chicago, the L or the subway, which is nice. Or we also have the Metro, which is a full-on train. I just like riding it. You get on it and you just sit down, you put on your headphones, and you watch the world go by in its way. You come to a stop and you see the people get on and you see the people get off, and you tend to think, where are they going? Why are they getting off at this stop? You know, why this specific stop? And you just, it's kind of a thought experiment, but it's also very relaxing. You just kind of sit back and things move on, and the click a clack of the train is great. I like to ride the train.
Well, I think you would love Japan. There are lots of trains here.
Yes, I would love that.
Just for giggles, have you ever hopped on a freight train?
I actually have. I grew up in a town that had freight trains pass by all the time, and me and my friends would dare each other to hop on. So we hop onto a boxcar while it's going by, and then get scared and everything and jump off. But yeah, I've hopped a freight train.
Very interesting. Okay. Well, I think this is a good opportunity for us to move into the final question. And this is where we get to recommend some of the people in our timeline that we enjoy communicating with. So could you share with us three people who you would recommend we follow?
Yes. He's probably been mentioned before, but I have to say is Matty Sherry, I think. I can't remember her last name. MPS. She is the first one I followed on app.net. I found her in Global, and she's been supportive. She's been with me the entire time, always there for me. And Maddie is just a wonderful person, very kind, very knowledgeable, and is always there for people. Second person is Anna Tarkov. I think that's her name, Anna Tarkov. She's also very supportive. She's also a writer. And we've talked about writing before, and she's very intelligent. And she's when I here's another personal thing. When I was having an emotional breakdown and I turned to app.net for friends to talk to, Anna was there for me. She talked me through some stuff. She talked me down. She's a very kind person. I'm in her debt because she was there for me, and she was very kind. And we talk about writing, and we talk about other great stuff. So she's a great follow.
Okay, and who would be person number three?
Person number three, I was torn about. This guy is great. He's the second person I followed off of Global, and I found him through Maddie. It's the Doctor. I don't know his real name, but it's the Doctor. And, you know, he's a big Doctor Who fan. I love Doctor Who. He runs the app.net comic, club and the movie club. And they do app.movie club, I think it is, and they watch movies and they discuss it in a powder room, and he's just a great guy. He's funny. He always, you know, we trade pictures together, and he's just a fun guy. Plus his name is the Doctor. He managed to get the Doctor. So once again, another recommended follow.
All right. Well, thank you very much for those recommendations, and thank you for being my guest today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
This concludes the 31st episode of Discover ADN. Once again, I would like to thank Douglas for taking the time to chat with me. Show notes for today's episode can be found online at discoveradn.10centuries.com. That's the number 10, centuries.com. And I would also like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Born Sequel. Have a nice day.